fresh kicks on the mantle. Hopped out my whip with some banjo. I'm with your girl, Gucci sandals. Ain't nothing my squad can't handle. Yeah, I'm the man, though. I'm the man, though. Hopped out my whip with some banjo. Yeah, I'm the man, though.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Lookout Landing podcast. My name is Kate Prusser. I am the managing editor of Lookout Landing. With me, as always, is my pal, John Troopin. John, how you doing?
All right.
Yeah.
on a bit of that sugar high.
And also, we have a special guest today. We have, once again, joining us, Jordan from Suspidus BBQ. Jordan, how are you?
What up, guys? I am happy to be back so soon after we convened for the emergency Ryan Healy podcast. And now here we are for the emergency D. Gordon podcast. And hopefully, soon, I will return for the emergency, you know what I'm talking about, podcast. So, that's how I'm doing. How are you guys?
Yeah, that's... I mean, we were saying that this hot stove season has been pretty much... It's just Jerry. It's Jerry's stove. It is his stove. He's cooking on it.
It's his kitchen. It's his house.
Kate, I think you described that he's got a camp stove that he's just like...
Yeah, he's huddled over a camp stove and like snarling at all the other GMs to keep them away. So
inviting one up at a time.
Yes, yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. He's like up on some hill. And everyone gets to take their turn. Yeah.
It's some Hunger Games thing where he's like in the cornucopia and he has all the stuff and he's just like sorting through and trying to figure out who he's going to apportion it to.
But like all of it kind of sucks.
But he still has all the stuff.
Yeah.
It's a myth. It's
still his.
It is. That's very true.
Jordan, I know you've been pretty busy lately. Went to Facebook, which is my least favorite thing to do, but to get more of your delightful face and presence,
there are faces on Facebook. Yes.
Yeah, but I like your face, so I don't mind going to Facebook to see your face.
Nice.
And Jake's face is fine. So went to go see a little, what was it, the 12:25. So I braved Facebook in order to now is that a weekly thing that you do or
our 12:25 appearances which you can see on lb.com 12:25 live every day or certainly during the season and most days during the off season. It's not we're kind of the fill-ins. We're kind of the fill-ins over there. We're not the official hosts. Alexa Dad is the official host, but we like to go in there and we interviewed our good friend Trevor Williams, one of our favorite people in baseball with the Pirates. Trevor, extremely Mariners profile, so keep an eye on that. Just not saying anything, just saying. But that was fun. Yes, you could have seen my face on there if you were watching 12:25.
It was enjoyable, as have been the various Pachinko.
Peter Pachinko, our MLB insider. We didn't want to call him Peter Plinko, so Peter Pachinko it is. That is the official Japanese term for the game that randomly determines things. And Peter was all over the D. Gordon signing. Totally. Peter saw it all the way. But we brought Peter back for the hot stove season. We introduced Peter for the trade deadline, and he nailed the Pat Neshek to the Rockies trade. Like, actually, totally predicted that. So he's kind of living off that, and we'll see if he can get another scoop this off season.
Somehow Bob Nightingale has a job, so I don't feel like
extremely Peter. No comment.
I was gonna say Chris Cotello started very small, so
doubled. That's extremely true. No comment.
Speaking of Chris Cotello, though, he is a friend of our site lately because he was the one who tweeted out the letter from Larry Parros, our 83-year-old fan. Did you get a chance to read this?
I did. It was lovely.
It is a beautiful piece of art that apparently has now gone viral in Japan, and hopefully...
In Japan? I missed that. That's awesome.
Yeah, so supposedly he posted himself about having been invited or asked to do like an interview with a Japanese national TV station, which he's very excited about. So we'll see how
that's
that.
Great.
Yeah, he is 83, so we're gonna make sure that these people are legit and they're not trying to fool. Who I've now started referring to as LL's grandpa. He's all of our grandpas now.
I love that. I love it. I support it. It was a lovely and certainly emotional letter. And now if that, you know, sparks him into, it's like a Vine star, but I don't know if our 83-year-old friend knows what that means. So it's fine. I'm glad he's getting his moment in the sun. It's cool.
And it was a very stirring message. I think that speaks to a lot of elements of Mariners fandom and represents us really well, I think.
Definitely.
So, you know, any little bit, it is so hard to tell. So should we deal with Ohtani first of all, first and foremost, do some Ohtani chat?
I mean, that is, that was a
it's
good,
all connected,
easy.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, John and I had initially meant to record yesterday, but then John got busy.
Good. Clutch, John. That was smart.
I don't know what you were doing, but
good call.
I wouldn't have even been finished editing the podcast by now, so that was actually a little bit of a blessing in disguise. But we're going to talk about the Ohtani sweepstakes and just kind of take a breather out. I don't know what you guys are doing, but basically I wake up at 4 a.m. every morning and look at my phone and scroll my phone as quickly as I can and then go back to sleep for a little while and then just repeat that process throughout the day with the time intervals shrinking down more and more and more.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure that it'll be the one moment at which I'm not looking that the thing happens.
Yes.
I was like at dinner, like talking with my family and like just had like the little like breaking, like it, just like a, I think it was some like standard ESPN notification that just, but it had breaking at the head and I like my heart
like fell out of your chair.
Like every single time I see any sort of, I feel like the big buzz from my phone.
Right.
Terrifying.
Yes.
Oh, this is no way to live.
So I, obviously, extremely same. I'm very, very much on the same page. So I'm rocking the Rosenthal pass-in notifications at this point. So the Rosenthal notifications gave me the D news today, and I hope that he will bring me good news in the coming days regarding Ohtani. But I think it's really crazy because there's like, I'd say like, you know, 70% of me, or probably 80% of me, is exactly like you, right? It's just like the frantic, like, is he going to Seattle? And then 30% of me can't stop thinking about it anyway because it's just crazy. Like, the whole thing is nuts and I can't stop thinking about it just from a I'm a baseball fan standpoint. Now, I will say, after two straight days of Jerry trading for an extra $1 million, I will say I am now at 99%. Please be Seattle. And I think now I will also say, and maybe this is kind of jumping ahead here, I will also say that at the beginning, even once it was whittled down to the Mariners being one of the seven finalists, I was still remaining not even cautiously optimistic. I was just like, look, like, this is great. I'm glad they're in the final seven, but I'm just going to let this play out. And if they get them, great. If not, like, whatever. Seriously. Like, I was. But now, after these last 2 days, now I will officially be, you know, crying in the corner for days if they don't get them.
So,
that's where I'm at now. Again, I have not convinced myself yet that they will get him, but I am also I'm feeling a lot better about it. But also, I'm not going to act like I actually know anything because obviously I don't. So that is where I'm at, just in a broad sense. And I could kind of try and talk through other thoughts as we go.
That sounds right to me. The person who runs the Building the Dam, which is the Oregon State SB Nation account, which we're close with because, you know, there's a lot of overlap between the Mariners and Oregon State, and obviously they're just a really fun team to follow, and They do a great job over there. And he messaged me, DM'd me, and said, you know, where should I be emotionally? Like, how far invested in this do you think I should get? And I was like, man, save yourself, because it's too late for me. I am infected. I have the, you know, it's like a zombie movie. Like, I have got it. I got bitten. I got scratched. Like,
I remember distinctively, like, you being really angry with me, like, 3 weeks ago, or maybe like a month ago, for like I think it was like 1 a.m. for no reason. We were just up, like, and I think I was just like, we were like sending one another like gifts of Otani, and
yeah,
getting our one another just hyped again about it. And oh god,
damn, yeah. you guys are sick, and I'm questioning my loyalty. No, I'm just trying to maintain sanity over here.
Yeah.
But hey, now I'm pretty much all the way where you're at. So, you know.
Yeah.
We were all going to get there. So.
John has been on this the longest. And he was like, Otani, 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 Otani. And I was like, okay, let me pay some attention here and look some things up. And then I'm a night owl anyway. I do a lot of my writing at night and stuff. So I was like, what's 1 a.m.? Why not just stay up until 2 and watch this guy play? And I found like a stream. And then that is where like the true sickness began. Where
so
I was,
when
like,
was
staying
that?
Up.
Like, which is, how, when are we talking? Like months ago? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
August or September, right?
Yeah, okay. August, I would say. When, and you know what else was? It was really fun to. Like, the Mariners were not doing well. The Miners were... Yeah, I know.
Okay, sorry, yeah.
I'm sorry if you blocked out the last part of last season.
No, I was along for the ride. I was there watching every last, you know, Evan Marshall appearance or whatever.
Butters' dad is... Oh, man. Blessings up. I hope he succeeds with the Indians. Nice guy. But yeah, it was sort of like, well, this is a really fun thing. It's gone from like, this is a fun thing to occupy my time and think about and dream on. And then it's just been like dreaming. And I kept waiting for the moment where I was like, okay, I should probably not think about this anymore. And I was so convinced that he was going to be a Yankee. And I was talking about this with Meg Rowley a little bit.
Super same.
I was convinced largely because of how convinced the Yankees fans were. And like, looking back on this, I recognize that this is not how you should make decisions in your life.
Yeah.
I am terrible.
Well, certainly not. Yeah, certainly not.
Like,
Based on Yankees fans' confidence?
Yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, it has some really unpleasant suggestions. I think I would fail that Milgram experiment, like, so badly. I'd be like, okay, let me turn the dial all the way up. No, I was just like, okay, like, all these people are saying that he's definitely going to be a Yankee, and they've got a lot of money, and they're the Yankees, so I guess he's going to be a Yankee. And that was, like, the low point of my Otani hopes. I probably have not been more shocked about something. As crazy as this whole process has been, I don't think I was more shocked than when the announcement broke that he had eliminated the Yankees so early on.
When Cashman stepped in front of the fucking Grinch.
The Grinch! It's too on the nose to have the Grinch pop up and photobomb Pat Cashman.
Where the hell was he?
He was at, like, a Christmas parade. But wait, are we forgetting the part where Cashman was rappelling down a building? And I know
that was
he does
the day,
this every
that was,
year.
That was a separate thing. That was when he was making the pitch.
It was like
which failed miserably.
An hour period of, like, rappelling down a building. Like,
getting photobombed by the Grinch.
I have to give some credit here. I was just on the Cut Forecast the other day, and our good friend and editor Dakota Gardner made this was his crazy theory, which I loved, which was that he did the whole rappelling thing happened in Stamford, Connecticut, and he was trying to convince that the Yankees were a small market team by doing it in Stamford, Connecticut.
I mean, so,
but I think Ohtani got word about how many people are in Manhattan. And the Bronx.
I think the Angels
figured it out.
The Angels are leaning pretty hard into that Anaheim part of their name.
Oh my goodness!
Really distancing themselves from the Los Angeles part.
No,
it seems.
Shohei, if you're listening, man, just go to San Diego. Don't go to Anaheim.
Seattle.
I'm saying if you're going to spurn us and break our hearts,
please go
to lovely, lovely San Diego. Don't
well,
go.
I okay, mean, sorry. And it's weird. A month ago, I would not have. I've always thought that San Diego was a potential contender because of all their Japanese connections, because of the amount of time that they've been doing this legwork, right? Yes. I was scared of Texas, and I was scared of San Diego because they've been putting all this time in. And honestly, I kind of felt like it might boil down to the two of them and then the Yankees, because always the Yankees, and
yes,
we would be eliminated maybe early-ish on. But...
Yeah, yet, I'm still scared of Texas and San Diego. But
I mean, that's what you said on... Right. One of the various things where I watched your face talking.
I lose track of where I'm at this point. But yes,
that one might have been a pachinko one where you.
Yes, I think that was. But yeah. I mean, here we are. I mean, now with the Yankees out, then it just really threw it up, because it felt like if the Yankees had made it to the finalists, right, like the top seven, then it would have just felt like everyone just waiting for the Yankees to get them.
Oh, absolutely.
But now, as soon as he said, and I guess then it would have been even more insane if he then picked somebody else. But in this case, once they eliminated, it was like, all right, well, now we just know nothing. We have absolutely no idea. Mm-hmm. And the speculation has just been crazy. And we're all just kind of doing our best to make educated guesses and try not to let our own, you know, emotional stability affect our predictions too much.
And yet the longer it goes on, the more I mean, I thought I couldn't get more invested, but it every day that goes by,
yes,
is another day that I am a little more invested in the whole thing. And I cycle through these things. I'll read something about the Padres and I'm like, oh, the Padres are definitely going to get him. And then I'll read something about the Cubs and I'm like, oh, no, the Cubs are definitely going to get him. But then I'll see.
Because, right.
I wish it wasn't maybe certain beat writers who are tweeting out, we hear the Mariners are the before. But, and I'm like, don't believe it, don't believe it, don't believe it. But then it's so tempting to believe it. It's right there.
I know.
It's written down.
Right,
someone
there.
Read it. Someone wrote it. They said sources. Who knows?
I will
it's
say
just, it's like a drug.
I will say that I did feel a little more confident when beat writer X said it today, or writer X said it today, than when beat writer Y said it the other day. I will leave it at that.
I agree, and I believe that we have. It is, though, something that just I think the Yankees were the logical choice, right? Like, if you're operating, sure. And I think that that's what we've seen out of the New York media, which I knew would be, negative. I think I sort of thought that it would shade Ohtani. I didn't think it would be outright full page New York Daily News, what a chicken. Like, I did not see that coming.
I mean, it was truly perfect. And the worst. But also
it was the new. It was the most New York Daily News cover that I think, like, if you created in a lab, you couldn't probably get closer
to.
And
it also makes me feel like, you know, and I've said this a few times, like, it didn't feel like the whole small market thing might be nonsense. It just felt like it was, like, not New York, please. Because if he goes to not Los Angeles, there's no Los Angeles is not whatever. The L.A. media is not going to be like, he was scared, you know, to play in L.A. Like, it's not. I don't think that's going to happen. So maybe because they're just a little more chill in Southern California. But it does feel that way. So, or Chicago, even. I don't think you're going to see that. So it was fairly perfect, but very silly, I guess.
It was just such a immediate object lesson. Like, I just felt like going around Twitter holding up a mirror because, like, this is literally why he didn't choose you.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing I would say is, like, it's like the logic would say the Yankees, but, like, this is not a lot. This is inherently not a logical situation.
It is. I can't think of anything
There's nothing like it. And I don't think we'll ever see anything like it again. So, you know, that's why you just kind of enjoy it. That's the word we can possibly use. But, yeah. So at that point, we should have been more open to not knowing anything, I think, is the lesson, if anything, can be learned from this madness.
So, what about... As much as, obviously, we are hanging on every little snippet for Ohtani, what about D. Gordon? And the sort of very fascinating... Essentially, Jordan, you have now come on this podcast twice with us, and each time it has been because the Mariners traded for someone whose primary position had been one, and they were saying, and the Mariners are going to play him at a different position.
Right.
Really should be a first baseman, not a third baseman. So that's a deal. But
right, and now this is the reverse kind of.
Yes. Yeah.
This is a different situation.
Yeah. D. Gordon, you know, obviously the Mariners have traded, you know, Nick Neider, Robert Duggar, and Chris Torres for D. Gordon and $1 million in international slot money, and D. Gordon never having played a single inning of outfield in his major league career is going to play center field. The hardest outfield.
Where does center field stack up against second base on the Bill James spectrum? Does anyone know off the top of their heads?
Is it below? I thought shortstop would still, or wouldn't catcher?
I think
I don't know.
If catcher, Bill James. Shortstop. I'm not sure for second. I know Fangraphs has them has second base and center field at the same positional adjustment. Mm-hmm. I think it's a lower adjustment on BREF's like measurements, but I don't remember exactly what Bill James has.
But they're close enough together to where we're not, you know, it's not a huge leap one way or the other.
Right.
It's still a leap. It's still a big leap. Yeah. It's still a big leap for a 29-year-old, right?
Yeah. Gonna be 30.
Yeah.
That is wild. Like, they're banking a ton on Gordon's athleticism.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much that seems to be it. Like, everything you've seen...
Which, okay, here's the thing, right? Like, if they had, like, brought back Jerod Dyson, okay? Say they bring back Jerod Dyson.
Sure.
And give him a 3-year deal, let's just say. Which seems kind of crazy, but whatever. You would still be saying, well, like, if his athleticism goes, he's not a major leaguer anymore. And D. Gordon, just from a contact perspective, and from a, I mean, Jerod Dyson's plenty fast, but he's never stolen 60 bases, or 50, or 40, or whatever. But it's kind of, and D. Gordon's younger than Jerod Dyson, which is good. But the scary part is that it's a similar type thing, except he's way more expensive, and he's never played center field. So let's get to the good part. Let's try and get to the good part here. I think if you think about it from the, well, and if, of course, you listen to The Wheelhouse, you would know that Jerry DePoto was trying to get, they look, it's not like there aren't center fielders available. We had the John Jay rumors. I think some people are thinking, oh, Lorenzo Cain would be fun, or bring Dyson back, whatever. It's like, okay, there's center fielders out there, but it's like, he mentioned, what is the most, you know, what's create, how can we get creative with this? And if you had to pick a dude who's never played center field in the majors to go out and play center field tomorrow, how many guys are you picking before D. Gordon? That's what, which is, okay, look, there's still a lot of questions and potential issues, you know, but
so
that's
do you
kind
think
of
we
how
can
I see
comp
it.
This
strictly
against,
from a defensive standpoint, obviously.
Do you think we can that's Ian Desmond's move then?
Because
Ian Desmond went shortstop to... They started him in left field,
left
right?
to first, because Texie played outfield in Texas, which was a thing that happened. And then Colorado. Fine there. He was fine. Yeah. He was fine. And then he was playing center there, too.
Yeah, he was good enough that he was in left that they decided he would actually outpace who was playing center field for them.
It was like some combo of Jurickson and Profar and the guys you mentioned and Delino.
Yes. That is not a crazy comparison, though, and it was basically exactly the same age when they asked him to move. Desmond was also entering his age 30 season.
Except that Ian Desmond was, like, fast, like a 20 steals guy, like,
exactly.
Athleticism. He was not...
Not leading, not D. Gordon fast, right.
The league, and realistically, like, top two or three speed in the league kind
yes.
of guy.
Well, which, that can be debated, but yes.
That's fair. But, the way you put it exactly, Jordan, that, like, if you were going to pick people who weren't already playing center field, there's essentially nobody you'd put over D. Gordon to do this. Who, at least as a prospect, as a shortstop, got strong ratings on his arm. I don't know that I can't say necessarily because I didn't watch a lot of Marlins games, and when you're a Mariners fan, I don't know how many Dodgers games you were watching.
Right.
So I haven't seen a lot of D. Gordon play, in all honesty, but, just in terms of does his speed, does his athleticism fit out there, I get it, and we actually, Kate, I don't know if we talked about this, but I remember we had a piece up on the site about potential trade partners and the Marlins being one of them. And D. Gordon was one of those guys where it's like, well, this person, like, their skill set fits.
Yeah, he has a Mariner skill set. He just didn't, at the time, have a Mariner position. So,
this is very cool. And, a number of guys, a number of good center fielders in the league now started their careers as middle infielders. Like, Billy Hamilton was a shortstop in the minor leagues. Mookie Betts played middle infield. And,
that was the one I was going to bring up, too. Right.
Yeah. There are other guys who have at least played a little bit with varying levels of success, for sure. But, this is... it's a weird idea. I can't say necessarily that, like, it's an amazing idea, but it is a really fun and exciting idea, and that is...
Yes.
And it's an outside-the-box idea, and I think whether it works or not, you want your front office and you want the team you're rooting for to be thinking outside of the box.
Right, always looking for that next, to be the next ones ahead of the curve. And I think we're starting to see positional flexibility be really important. It's something that I think the National League has had because of the way the no DH rule forces them to use players and shift players around. And I think in the AL, and especially because of the DH, I mean, it's great because it extends players' careers and it lets less mobile players play longer. But it can also lead to people being locked in. Like, this is our shortstop. This is our second baseman. This is our utility guy, but he plays three positions max.
Right.
And something you're seeing is DePoto's just making Ben Gamel learn for first base because he can. Like,
I don't even want to talk about that.
I don't know how many... I've seen Ben Gamel take reps at first base in Tacoma. He looks fine. First base is not hard.
Him playing defense is not the part that I'm concerned about.
Yes.
You're concerned about Ben Gamel first base. You're concerned about Ben Gamel first baseman.
Yes.
Batting ninth.
Batting ninth. Yes, exactly. I have seen a lot of nine and eight hitting first basemen in my career. I know that more than that. And we're probably going to see that with Ryan Healy, like especially
right.
like in the best case scenario. Like, Jordan, I don't know, I think it was, you may have remarked on this, like...
What, the Zunino batting ninth thing?
Batting
well, okay, I, Do we? Okay, I don't know where we want this D discussion to go. Although, how far down the like lineup construction row we want to really want to get here? But I was intrigued by the he's hitting leadoff like automatically, and you know DePoto did also say he's like it'll be up to Scott, but he's going to hit leadoff. He's probably going to hit.
He's
going to
hit in that top part of the order.
Yeah, and they want him and Segura together was the other part of it, which is
right. And like I guess like I wouldn't hate that, but like my first instinct was bat the dude ninth. Like I don't care. I get it, and I still, and like maybe it will still also be, and maybe just because I love Mitch Haniger this much, but like I love him batting second, but at this point, like I also do like and understand the let's put, you know, two of the fastest guys in the league, or certainly one of the fastest guys in the league and another guy that can run.
I love Mitch Haniger so much. Mitch Haniger runs like an ice cream man. Like I do not want to see him out there trying to take the extra base for Robbie Cano.
I see. That's true. He's not wouldn't qualify him as slow?
I think he's pretty slow. I think
you think he's slow.
I think he's average.
He's average. The problem is I think
being deployed like he's fast. He's being told to take the extra base and he should not be doing that. Like let Mitch sock his extra base hits and glide into second with his double and, you know, drive the run in. I don't want to see him out there trying to leg out a double. No, thank you.
That is perfectly fair. And instead, we are going to see. Oh man, the middle of the lineup is going to be so brutally slow. It's awesome.
It's going to be so slow.
Haniger is so okay.
Like, do you want Zunino 6? Because here's the thing, though. That fool's either going to hit a homer or whiff. And, like, then it...
Yeah.
Like, a double might not drive in Nelson Cruz or Robbie Cano for a second.
Like, yeah.
But a homer will do it anywhere. No. Like, no.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, whatever.
No, I like Zunino down at the bottom where there's, like, maybe a little less pressure. Like...
That would be interesting, is putting him like 6 or 7, which doesn't really make any sense. And I also feel like it does feel like D will, I guess, from an optics standpoint, even though logically, analytically, et cetera, it's dumb. It does seem weird to be like, hey, look at our 2-time All-Star we acquired. He's going to bat 9. Like, like that I get. So, and we haven't even mentioned, I mean, speaking of weird runners, I mean, Ryan Healy's got to run the bases, apparently. So,
oh my God.
So it's going, so that's why it does feel like, and I get it, that like, let's just have the fast guys be on base as much as possible, because, I mean, it's ridiculous if, like, you get what I'm saying, right? So
get your two burners on, and then you have three through
and then just
nine
hit the ball out of the ballpark.
Who are slow
just
and
trying
like,
to hit
just
home runs.
Hope
so three,
one
three,
of them, yeah, three, exactly.
Three, three, eight. Because Gamel, you know, Gamel. Oh wait, sorry. First base. I'm sure he's gonna crush it.
Hey,
did he actually grade out as faster than Valencia in the like sprint speed stuff on StatCast? Because
Gamel.
Yeah, because I remember Valencia and Haniger, at least at some point in like the StatCast sprint speed stuff, were neck and neck, and it was like,
oh my God.
Well, I mean, Valencia's fast for a first baseman, but like,
dude, Gamel.
Gamel's
helped by his hair. His hair. Gamel, it looks like he's running faster than he is.
Gamel is fast, and he is smart on the bases. He is the only one who posted a good BSR score. Like, no,
I know.
Come on.
I'm with you. I agree. I agree with you. That's why he should be playing first base. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Okay. So the point is, 3 through 8, you are right, though. 3 through 8 will be trying to hit a home run, and I love that. That is a wonderful team. Oh, that is a – it will be – it's also like – they were so bad on the bases last year, but it's not. But I guess they were running more though than usual. Obviously,
like half of them had like hamstring or quad injuries.
Yes, I realized that too. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know that that's a fair thing to say, like, oh, well, that'll be for sure better. But it's definitely going to be just the 50-50 of, okay, these guys run and these guys are station to station. But it is going to be really funny to watch. And I think it also, just in terms of looking forward, like, the majority, like, I think everyone except for Nelson Cruz in this lineup is locked in for the next 3 years at least, right?
Like, yes.
Segura is extended through 20...
Like, he's 20 five more years. Or four more years, yeah.
Yeah.
Cano is, like, what, 45 more seasons? Yeah, yeah, okay, that's something like that.
He's six more seasons, and, you know, everyone else is either, like...
Cano's going to get inducted into the Hall of Fame while still an active player.
he's going to pull the Palmeiro and, like...
Oh, yeah.
Come back for one plate appearance, reset that clock.
I'm really ready for Cano's Hall of Fame when he, like, rides in on a camel.
Mm. Oh, Cooper's my goodness. For the day. Just hold the inductions in the Holy Land. I'm here for it. I'm all the way here for it. But no, you're right. And I think that is something, and, you know, something for, obviously, for 9 months from now will be the Nelson Cruz discussion. Obviously, we have to see how he does in 2018. But it's true. And also, if you have Otani, thanks, John, for bringing us back to that panic mode. Where we had successfully talked about something else for 10 minutes.
I had forgotten Shohei Otani existed for like 2 minutes, so thank you. No, actually, I was thinking about how everyone is sending out like the mocked up lineups. And they look
Buster
pretty...
only. It's a Buster only special.
Yeah, the Buster, yes. The BO special.
Yes.
And I think he sent one out without Otani, and everyone was like, "Where Otani?" Yeah. So, you know, no, Buster being a man of the people.
I think he's done both. I think he's done both.
Yes, sent out the one with Shohei.
With and without, yes. It's good for the RTs, so I get it. Like, I understand.
I will say that, like, seeing Otani's name slotted in as DH doesn't thrill me at this point. And I don't know why. Maybe because unproven quantity in MLB. Maybe because, like, that's the last frontier of my resistance. Like, that's the last sane part that's left is, like, no, you cannot possibly look at this and get excited about it. But even the non-Otani version is a good-looking lineup on paper.
I know, right. That's where I'm at, too, which is what's, you know, barely sort of not at all making me, you know, less crazy about the whole thing. But, yeah, so, right, it's looking, as Jerry has said since he arrived in Seattle, you gotta lengthen the lineup. And clearly what that was he showed up and he saw Adam Lind batting fifth. Or whatever. He was like, let's not have this.
He brought Adam Lind in.
Whatever.
I'm
mixing. Well, okay, good. Then I'm glad he got a not Adam Lind. I'm glad he tried that, so no, he can't make the same mistake unless he
you
can.
You know, some people have been hard on DePoto. Did you all look at the Fangraphs front office rankings?
I did. I was very intrigued by that.
I was intrigued at how low the Mariners were because... you know, I know that there's been, and I wonder how that would have differed if you'd looked at it in 2016 versus 2017. But I thought that they were unnecessarily harsh. What did you guys think?
You can go ahead first, John.
Oh, yeah. I think part of it was, like, they were on the lower end of the spectrum, but, like, there were sort of some levels, and they were pretty close within sort of the mid to mid-low range, like.
I mean, they were bottom third, like
for sure. But, like, you know,
that's low.
There was like a steep drop off between, like, the Angels. Yeah, but I mean, like, the top third of the teams make the playoffs, and the Mariners didn't do that.
Yeah, but I want to look at some of the teams who are ahead of them because I was like, okay, but then I really dug into it and I was like, really. Really, Toronto's front office?
Here's the one. Sorry, this is almost completely unrelated. How did anyone answer this question for the Braves? Like, how? Like, well, my GM was banned for life. So, like, that is that a one? Like, but he's not the GM, and the new GM has done nothing. So, like, what?
And whatever, when he was the old GM, he hella cheated, but he also got Ronald Acuna. Like,
and, like, a billion other prospects that they get to keep. Like, it's like, yeah. So I don't know how. Sorry, that's obviously unrelated. The point is
no, No, I think that's totally related.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Some of these, and also the same question to some degree can be asked with the Marlins, is it's like, what would you have said about them before Jeter showed up? So I don't know. Whatever. Okay. I don't want. There are a lot of other teams that I'm more confused by. But in terms of the Mariners, like, I do agree with John that they are mostly clumped in everyone's kind of, you know, middling. Sort of, but average. Like Kate, like, you're right. Like, them being behind
Philadelphia, Toronto. Like Philadelphia,
right. Well, Philadelphia's set up pretty well. Like, they've been bad, but that I understand. But, like, the Toronto, the ones that are sort of in the middle in sort of like this somewhat aimless state, or is a little weird. Even Oakland, I was kind of surprised by that.
I just think that's insulting. To be ranked below Oakland is insulting. Yeah. So Oakland has some great prospects.
Colorado. I mean, we just talked about Ian Desmond. Like, what was that about?
Pittsburgh? So, nobody in Pittsburgh is happy with their front. Have you ever seen Pirates fans complaining online?
I have. I know. I guess
you guys have a few followers, don't you?
We see all the fans. We see all of them. It is, yes.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty wild. The quality of the teams that were ahead of us. But also, did you guys take the quiz?
I did.
I mean, it was one question.
Yes. I know. That's the thing.
I think it's pretty hard.
It was the best kind of quiz.
It was one question. I was like all prepared. I answered the first one and I was like all prepared for like four more asking me about various aspects. But no, it was one question. So I feel like when you do a one question quiz, you are inviting like a black or white response that maybe doesn't capture all of the nuance.
And what it was, and I found myself, I mean, I contributed to this mess in the middle because it was like, three, you know. So, well, I can't really criticize because it's like, it's hard. And you can tell, I mean, this is the same thing. It's the same when he did it 2 years ago. It's like, oh, who just won the World Series? Oh, Houston, you know.
Yeah. I have been making up so many bullshit rubrics lately. Like, I did one for Shohei Ohtani where I was like ranking all. It was so biased. I could feel myself as I was doing it. I was like, this is really biased. Like,
yeah. Well, that's how. That's why.
For this somehow,
and I enjoyed the way, like, Brisby did it best. he leaned into it, and he, as he normally does, he was.
Well, you know, I did the FanGraphs franchise player draft, and I also made up a largely bullshit rubric for that. That was like offense, defense, star quality, because that's a real thing that you can actually
that's
measure.
Not getting revealed, right? We don't even know who. You don't have to tell us. I mean, that's,
oh no, I can't spoil can't. Myself like that, that. But your I will say secret. That I was very delighted to have the player who was available at my pick number 28.
Mike Zunino. Awesome. Great. I'm glad you took the best player in all the land.
I maybe should have crunched Mikey Z's numbers a little better. I will tell you, though, I'm sad to say, I'm sorry to say, Mike, I love him. I love him. He is not a...
Not selected.
He does not have that star quality. He is incredibly
talented. There's a reason I refer to him as good. And strictly
he is good. He's like a medieval, like, everyman, you know, stock character.
It's like in video games when, like, you can choose between like nine different characters, and like one of them is just like good at it, not like super amazing at something, but like that's the character you should play as. Like, that's the good character. But you try this, and you try the one that has the super unbalanced. Like, realistically, just go with the good one. So, yeah.
I maybe should have given Zunino more of a fair shake. Honestly, he did consideration. Not pop up. Yeah, he
I
did not.
I think they would have banned you from Hardball Times if that. Yes.
Right. But yeah, that's what I was maybe hoping for. A little bit, as bullshitty as my rubrics were, like, they did kind of reveal things to me. Like, I didn't think I liked Cody Bellinger all that much, and then it came up. And
then you're like, whoa.
I was like, oh.
That's a lot of home runs at age 21.
Yeah, exactly. And they got points for how young they were, too. So it really.
Oh, that'll help. That will help.
It was really surprising to see, like, oh, hey, you know, maybe my impression of him was a little dimmed by watching him strike out so much in the World Series.
Sure.
As pitchers exploited the hole in his swing.
Right.
But when you consider so that's what I was upset about with the rankings, was like, it really just didn't. It didn't seem like a holistic thing.
Right.
And I wonder how many people would respond differently if that poll was conducted today.
That's the thing. I mean, that's why it's like, shouldn't we do this in February?
Maybe not in the middle of hot stove season, especially not.
Yeah, like November 1st, yeah.
Maybe not especially this hot stove, because this is the weirdest hot stove season, right?
Exactly.
Like everything is held up, everything is slow, and
so I guess I'm most curious now, just especially since some things have started to happen. What you guys are anticipating next? If you guys have sort of things that you're expecting to happen. That will most shape what happens after this, because, you know, we've seen sort of, I think the Mariners have done just about all they can do except for spend some money on a pitcher, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
You know, like the, you know, especially in the AL West, you know, the Angels have money to spend, and they've been linked to Mike Moustakas, they've been linked to Eric Hosmer a little bit.
Oh, please give Eric Hosmer a big, huge contract. Please. Please.
But I mean, I think as you said, Kate, like it's hard not to look at this team, and even without Ohtani, you know, not be pretty excited, even if, you know, there are a lot of, you know, weird things that could happen one way or the other. And, you know, just, but looking at this team and saying, okay, the Astros are going to be great for sure, but this is, I think, you know, if not the most competitive, you know, other team in that division, you know, then it's they have just as much a shot as being at least a wild card team and putting it up. But what I guess are you guys worried about or intrigued to see for the rest of the offseason?
You first, Kate.
I wanted to say, like, something that we haven't touched on really is the deal that Tyler Chatwood signed today, or is purportedly going to sign with the Cubs.
I think it's
Chatwood. Yeah. So Chatwood was my kind of pet, but then I realized he was everybody else's pet for the offseason.
Yes.
He's everybody's target.
He is the perfect, I'm telling you, he is like the exact free agent pitcher where every single team today was like, whoops, like, wish we had gotten Tyler Chatwood. Like, it was the random sort of, like, because we had even mentioned it last time we talked, that he would be a decent target from a pitching perspective. Yeah. But then you're seeing, like, the everyone from the Mets to the Blue Jays to the, you know,
exactly.
Yeah. So.
For 40?
I know.
That's a lot.
That's more than,
I mean,
that's double what I think Trade Rumors thought he was going to get, so.
Yeah, yeah. That, I mean, I think that they had him around 320, 325, something in there.
Mm-hmm.
Fangraphs had him at, like, 328 even.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was a little more.
Which is where I thought, you know, 330 maybe. So 338 is, wow, significant.
Yeah, I would not have. I think it's so much of that has to be about his age, because he's like the youngest free agent starter available.
And his peripherals are so good. Like, I think that there is a good case that he was the most. I think there's a really good case that he was the most appealing free agent pitcher on the market, because not that he's going to deliver necessarily the best stuff, but he has a high ceiling where he could. Maybe. Maybe away from Coors. Maybe he's young enough. Maybe you can teach him some kind of pitch wizardry with, you know, get his control a little bit better. Cut down those walks.
Sure.
And because you're not paying him
$20. Exactly. And that's the other thing.
Darvish, you know, you have the room to actually, you know, to add an extra reliever who could, you know, make up the extra.
Yeah, he's the Wegman. You know Wegmans, right? Do you have Wegmans back there? So Wegmans is Wegmans is an East Coast.
I'm familiar.
Okay.
Wegmans is an East Coast grocery. Yeah, it's an East Coast grocery store chain, and it is the best. I miss it every day. It just kicks the ass of Safeway. Just kicks it across the court.
This is where your passion really lies.
Yeah, absolutely. Grocery store rankings. That is my jam.
It's a good beat. It's a good beat.
Wegmans is so good because they really care about food, and their store brands are amazing. Their store brands are easily the same quality that you would get. So whenever I went to a Wegmans, I would happily buy, you know, I'd buy the Wegmans brand oatmeal and the Wegmans brand mac and cheese and whatever. It wasn't any better or worse than what I was paying premium dollar for. And I feel like Tyler Chatwood is the Wegmans brand pitcher.
Yes.
He comes at a reasonable... He will deliver 80 to 90% of the quality at a fraction of... Not a fraction, but maybe 80% of the price. 70 to 80% of the price. So... That's why I wanted him. That's why I thought he was the most appealing pitcher on the market. That's why I was a little sad when I saw that notification go past before it was completely obliterated by Jerry just can't let anyone else have a moment of glory. Like,
yes.
Oh, I'm going to sign Tyler Chapman.
Fine with me.
All right. Then.
Fine. Fine with me. But yeah, no, I definitely see that. And obviously, the main thing people point to, and it is fairly staggering, the home road splits, in the same way that you think of it as a negative for a hitter, if you look at Chatwood and you think...
It's staggering for this year, and it's staggering when you look at the ERA, but if you look at the FIP and if you look at his career numbers, it's 4.94 FIP away versus 4.94 at home versus 4.19 away. It's...
Right.
I mean, it's basically what every other pitcher who has pitched at Coors has had as their average split.
You're just kind of banking on the stuff. And the walks do scare me. And he's not that young to suddenly get a lot of control. I mean, that part is not
right, but
great.
He really did. He had a pretty, even for Coors, he had a pretty rough home run rate, I think.
Yes,
and
that,
you know,
is also true.
Maybe just away from Coors, he feels like he can live in the zone a little more. The Cubs have... I think if he went somewhere, the Cubs is a... If he went somewhere and it wasn't the Mariners, as my hope was, I'm glad he went to the Cubs. I think they're going to do a lot with him. Wrigley is maybe not the... It's not a huge upgrade. Still pretty small park, right?
Yeah, but I think it... I mean, I think it's still a better fit. And we don't know I feel like a lot of the Cubs pitching magic has been attributed to Chris Bosio, who's now the Tigers pitching coach. But they brought in Jim Hickey, who's equally as respected. But it's hard to tell what exactly kind of effect that will have. So that is kind of interesting, I would say.
But
although,
I do kind of wonder what domino effect that's going to do. Okay, so now that Chatwood is done, like... Do we go Cobb Lynn next? Is it going to be
and
Darvish?
Chatwood?
Like...
I will also say, if you're Cobb and Lynn, you might get $100 million because if Tyler Chatwood can get 40, because Tyler Chatwood, as you were saying, like he was weirdly maybe in his own tier.
I think that's definitively... he was the unicorn.
Well, right. But people, a lot of smart people clearly seem to identify him as this weirdly possibly good pitcher. But you're right, right. He has no track record from a, like, if you're Cobb or Lynn, it's like, what? Like, look at this dude.
Tommy John twice. Has never had a, like, full good season.
Yeah. And, like, also,
do you think Cobb and Lynn were, like, texting each other today? Like
yo, best day ever. Yeah. Also, like, I mean, I'm looking at Tyler Chatwood's numbers. I mean, he led the league in losses. I mean, this dude's a loser. This guy's a loser. He loses games.
Jordan,
loses.
We need to get you out of New York, baby. Like, oh dear. It's you've
Do
been
I want
scratched.
A loser on you, my team. No.
You've been scratched, boys.
And so it realistically how that actually affects a pitcher that the Mariners could, you know, go after. I mean, I don't know if this will affect the Darvish price at all. But I don't know if it also makes the I don't know, like, I'm not, if Chatwood is like his own tier below Lynn and Cobb and above whatever else, I'm
Trevor
always
Cahill.
On Cahill, right? Like those types.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Yeah. So that's
Garcia.
The thing. Like, I don't know if that's gonna affect those types, but how much, I mean, and the other thing to consider just relative to the move today is, you know, they took on a lot of money with the D. Gordon acquisition. So that's another, what, $12 million this year? Is it more than that?
I
might be
say,
more than that.
It was either 12 or 13, I believe.
10 for this year. 10.8.
Yeah, it's backloaded, right? So
yeah,
like...
then 13, then 14. Yeah, 14 team option, whatever. So 11 is not crazy, but it is still a
significant
investment. And we know
it's
that
not
Dan
Lorenzo
is
Cain
open
money.
To, it's not Lorenzo Cain money, but it's still something that because if they're going after Darvish, this isn't going to matter anyway. But if they had any interest in Cobb or Lynn, which I don't know if they do. It feels like this might weirdly put. Does that make any sense? Or I don't know. Like,
if they were gonna go after Darvish, like an extra $10 million wouldn't necessarily be the differentiating factor, because you have to imagine you're willing to.
It's like you're clearly going for it, right?
Right, and so they already solved first base on a discount in terms of money. So,
yeah,
you know, going, and there were more expensive
solved first field. Base.
Well, filled first base.
Ryan. Ryan. Yes.
Yeah. Ryan.
Ryan.
No. I get what you're saying there, but you know,
Because if they're going, if the plan a week ago, I mean, obviously they're in full Ohtani mode, but if they had had the internal discussions like we're going to go after Darvish. This trade did not stop that. Whereas, like, maybe this trade plus Tyler Chatwood getting $40 million means, oh, well, we would have considered giving Lance Lynn $80 million, but now that we got D. Gordon and Lance Lynn wants $110 million,
time out and can we talk about the Mike Leake trade a little bit?
Mm.
Because does that not look good?
Whew.
In light of today's events,
it is pretty crazy because, and Kate, we were talking about this a little bit, but like, we still are panicking. Like, M's need a pitcher. We can't trust any of these guys. But like, Mike Leake is gonna pitch, and that dude does not miss any starts, and he also was obviously awesome for his 7 starts down the stretch, and it is a comfort that is good, and the trade obviously looks amazing. Of course, we knew they were taking on the money. Did they take on the entirety of the league deal? Or I don't think it was.
No. Right. The Cards are sending 17.
Oh yeah, so they're
$55 million.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the Mariners will only be paying 11 for Leake this year. Wow.
Yep.
Whew.
Yeah.
That's looking really good. Yeah.
This year, $5 million.
Yeah, 6-6-5-4, and then there's mutual option. Yeah, so you're right. That does look really good, and I don't know why it wasn't just one trade for Gonzalez and O'Neill. I don't know why they didn't just combine the two.
Because Leek wasn't available when Gonzalez was available.
Yeah, which is straight, because I guess the Cardinals were just in it, sort of?
The Cardinals were in it. They need a bat. They need an outfielder. They needed Tyler O'Neill. They had really no use for Marco Gonzalez. And
yeah.
I think we will all look at that trade in isolation and say that was a bad trade. Tyler O'Neill is probably better than Marco Gonzalez.
Yeah.
I love Marco, but currently, from what we saw this year, I think that that looks like a bad trade. But is there a possibility that after doing that trade, you come sniffing around Mike Leek and the Cardinals are like, hey, you again. We remember you. You'll take this Mike Leek off our hands? Thank you. Excellent. Because they were in the position where they just had to get rid of him. Like,
right.
They don't have space for him. They have Weaver. They have Flaherty. They have,
yeah, they have
Reyes
all these
coming
dudes
back. Oh, it's insane. And so basically, the Cardinals just donated Mike Leek to the Mariners because the Mariners were really nice
gesture.
And like they cleaned out their garage for them. Like, oh, Cardinals we'll take this Marco Gonzalez Mike off your hands.
Mike Leek was the pizza.
Yeah. Mike Leek was the pizza that we got for helping them move.
The Cardinals, and that is a very good comparison. But also,
it's
like,
helped by the fact that Mike Leek looks like his job is delivering pizzas. So, like, I could totally see Mike Leek in like a Pizza Hut uniform showing up at my door. I mean, like, that'll be $13.50.
It literally, it could just be him, and you'd be like, "Are you Mike Leek?" I think you are, but I'll just take my pizza.
Wasn't it Nick Franklin who was an Uber driver during the office?
Yes, of course.
Which I would not get into a car with Nick Franklin. Like, no, thank you. One glimpse of that spiderweb tattoo, and just I'm out.
Wow, damn harsh. Harsh, no love for Nick Franklin. The last thing I was just gonna say, like, about Leek is like, you know, I'm sure the Cardinals were like, you know, we've been to the playoffs plenty. You can here give it your best shot. Here's Mike Leek.
So kind. They get such a bad rap, and it turns out they're so kind. No. Very thoughtful organization.
Kindest front office in baseball. I love it. We'll go with that.
He was a tax write-off for them.
Yeah. Yes. Go ahead. Yes.
I have a quick question for Jordan because I'm going to have to bounce in a moment. I know we have some questions. Have you seen Dee Gordon in person play?
Ooh, that is a good question. When would I have seen Dee Gordon play?
Because I guess, Kate, that's actually possible for you, though. I don't know if you were making it to many Phillies games. But
no.
I know that I have. I've only seen him when the Mariners came. Or when the Marlins came to play the Mariners
this
past season, because I went to all three of those games. Because they were like, it was $8 to do so.
Cumulative. Shocking.
And it was very neat to watch him, but there wasn't anything that really stood out, just because I think the Mariners had a couple good games. I think Paxton started one of them, and they swept him. But just in terms of, you know, Dee Gordon's, I think, one of those players where it's like, because they have one elite skill, you know, as well as like a balanced palette, you know, it's one of those players that sort of jumps out and grabs you to watch them on occasion. So I just was curious if you guys had any moments watching that.
Yeah, I believe I have seen Dee Gordon play. Probably, I guess he's been in Miami since 2015, and I've definitely seen him play against the Nationals. Right, so I'm from DC, so I go to a fair amount of Nats games when not anymore, but like been to take my Nationals fan brother to Nats Park, and the Marlins are there, you know, however many times a year, and probably too often. I think I've actually seen the Marlins probably too many times, and Stan was always hurt, so it was like, all right, I guess I am here to see Dee Gordon, but I don't remember anything specific, I will say, so can't really make that up. But I agree, like, especially the guy, like, right, when you have the one elite skill, it's like, you might see him steal a base
you might, and it, but if you don't, it's like it does. It's hard for it to really add up. But now I think watching him every day, we'll start to kind of understand it a little better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Especially watching him play center field. Watching him play center field for the first time will be a fun thing. So
one of John's favorite things to say is that speed has a sample size of one. Like, you only have to see a guy be fast once, and you're like, you come away with a pretty positive impression.
Oh, yeah. And that happened with Dyson in, like, the second spring training game. It was like, whoa, why is he running so fast?
They're allowed to do that?
They're allowed to run. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I think especially on our team, that's going to... Mm-hmm. stand out really big.
Yes.
Hey, you'd mentioned another positive side effect of this is we might get the spring training match.
Yes. The Ian Miller, Dee Gordon foot race.
Friend of the podcast.
Oh, yes.
Ian Miller, who has the
hopefully not drafted in the Rule 5 draft, Ian Miller.
Good God. I mean, I would hope for him because I want the best for him, obviously. Yes. So, I don't think anyone will take him after a limited sample size in AAA.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But
I would be thrilled for him if he was taken and somebody was going to put him on their roster and let him just do what he does and go out there and be disruptive on the bases.
Just keep running
very, very fast. But yeah, I would love. Oh man, he was fun to watch during spring training last year. I would love to see some D. Gordon, Ian Miller speed-offs.
A Mariners Olympics warm-up.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I'm here for it. I am very fantastic. Here for it.
Fantastic. Well, John, you have to bounce, I believe. All right.
See ya.
Jordan, if you don't mind, maybe we could do a couple questions?
Let's do it. I'm down. Cool? I'm here. Bitch, where you and I was walking. Now I run a game, got the whole world talking. King culture, everybody wanna cut the legs off. King culture, black man taking no losses. Oh yeah. Bitch, where you and I was walking. Now I run a game, got the whole world talking. King culture, everybody wanna cut the legs off. King culture, you got the yams. All right, we, meaning me and Jordan, myself and Jordan, Jordan and I. Yeah, oof. It's like the one grammar thing I struggle with. So.
I think it is Jordan and I, technically, but also sounds super pretentious. So, anyway, we're going to answer some questions, and it's just the two of us. So, we can say whatever we want about Mitch.
John abandoned us to go refresh his Twitter, which is what... which is totally fair.
We're going to deal with some questions. We should deal with some questions. Yeah. Okay, the first one we have from Chris. True or false? If Ohtani signs here before the end of winter meetings, Darvish signs with Seattle before the end of the year.
So, like, we're so... It's interesting because we're so stuck on the... Like, we haven't even thought about Darvish recently. I mean, not that I haven't thought about it. But
no,
it's like
which
not
is amazing
even,
because...
It's not even entered the discussion yet, even with the Ohtani stuff going on, which
there's
is
literally no room for him. I'm so sorry, you.
Yeah. No, I know, which is crazy. But there will immediately...
Offer him I don't have space to think about him in my brain. Literally.
Right.
I have no neural transmitters for him.
I'm totally with you. But, like, if they get him, and this is the premise of the question, literally the number of times I've said if they get Ohtani is... Today is crazy. I've probably said it 1,000 times, but this is the premise of the question they presented, and so I am not guilty. But if they get him, like, yeah, I think after we pick our jaws up off the floor and try to regroup, we'll start to think about it pretty quickly. I mean, I don't know how quickly the starting pitcher market is going to develop, and when we talked about the Chatwood thing, I don't know if Ohtani is considered part of the starting pitcher market. Like, I guess he is, right? But
it's almost like he has his own market. He works independently. I think he's not, because he works independently. It affects such a small number of clubs.
And ultimately, it doesn't matter because he's not going to cost anything. So, yeah. I mean, he's going to cost the $20 million. Like, that's not insignificant, especially considering it'll be up front, and I get that. But still, for the most part, if you're just talking payroll, it's not going to matter. So there's no reason why the team that gets him or doesn't get him would go after him. Although, certainly in Seattle's case, although I could see a situation where a team, Like, for example, if a team like the Dodgers gets Ohtani, I don't know why they would necessarily go after Darvish. Or a team with more starting pitching depth, if they get Ohtani, they might be less likely to go after Darvish, if that makes sense. So, in that case,
I was very surprised. I think that if we see the Cubs not get Darvish, I feel like we see them make a push because they still need something else. Or the Rangers. I mean, the Rangers, the Rangers rotation is highly suspect.
I think they, I'm with you. Although I think they will also be, if they're not interested in the Darvish reunion, I think they'll be all over Arrieta. He's the one that's been rumored there. And of course, there's some Texas roots there. And that would make a lot of sense. But it's hard to say. I have to think that they want to push for it. And considering how thin the market is, and seeing that, you know, Jerry seems hell-bent on just building, like, a legitimate, like, not just an 80, like, he's trying, it seems like the moves have been trying to make the team a 90-win team and not an 85-win team, whether you, if you believe it or not. And so that would suggest that there's no reason to bother with Lance Lynn. not that, I mean, I like Lance Lynn, and if they sign Lance Lynn for $80 million or $90 million, like, I will not be thrilled, but I will feel like, all right, like, feel a little bit better, but it seems like they're going to go for it. And if I can't, are they going to get both of them? No. Could they get one of them if they miss out on Ohtani? Does it still make sense to go after Darvish? Yeah, probably. So, I think that's also a possibility, I guess. But I don't know. Do you have any amount of confidence or desire to go after him, or their hesitations there?
I mean, we wrote Darvish into our off-season plan because back when we were doing it in early, mid-November, we just counted ourselves out of the Ohtani sweepstakes. So being into it this far is... I don't think Darvish goes the same place as Ohtani. That is my gut sense. I don't think... I think that that was more in play as an idea when the Yankees were maybe going to get him, weirdly.
Sure.
Or the Dodgers. I could see that, I guess. But I don't, I don't.
So you think that's interesting. So you're, I think I agree. It's weird to think that they could get Ohtani and then
still have money for
suddenly
Darvish.
Well, so, like, and still want to pursue Darvish.
Yeah.
But then Darvish doesn't, like, it's weird, because what, is Ohtani going to say, I don't want Darvish?
you have to clearly let him have whatever he wants, right? So,
yeah,
if those
so
rumors
it's
are
weird
true,
because
where he said he wants to be the Japanese star, the one, like.
Yeah, well, I don't even want to. Is that what you're basing it off of? Which is fine. I mean, we, at this point,
no, not at all. I feel like if you get Ohtani, I feel like if the Mariners got Ohtani, they would look at Paxton, Ohtani, Felix, Leek, who am I missing?
And feel pretty good.
And feel...
Well, Erasmo.
Erasmo-ish. whatever they're doing with that. And I don't know, maybe pick up someone like Trevor Cahill, like maybe pick up somebody who can just sponge up innings.
Miranda. Miranda or Marco Gonzalez, whatever.
And or Andrew, who knows?
Yeah, or Andrew Murray.
But yeah, I feel like the push among the fan base is for them to get both and that they need both.
Right.
And I think that a lot of that comes from anxiety that Ohtani is not going to be successful immediately in MLB. But I think as a pitcher, he will be. He has...
Same. I'm very... Like, that's the part...
I have confidence in that. I think he might struggle as a batter, but I have a lot of confidence in him as a pitcher.
As do I. As do I. And that's the part is, like, we're so caught up in the two-way and just strictly can he do it at all, that we're losing sight of how amazing of a pitcher he could be immediately.
Yeah. I mean, he's got that hard fastball, and he mixes it with that typical Japanese deep arsenal of pitches, lots of off-speed, lots of location, which...
Yeah, I mean, it's really
US
similar to what Darvish looked like when he came over,
so...
But younger and better.
I feel like... You don't, somehow. You maybe don't need both of them. It would be great to have both of them. And financially, you could probably swing it, but I just don't see it happening. And I think once Ohtani says he's going to go wherever he's going to go, those teams that have missed out on him, that were really depending on getting him as an ace, are going to make a hard run at Darvish.
Right. Yeah, and I think the Mariners are, that's what you're implying, like, they're very much included in that.
Yeah.
And I think that will be something that it's hard to, yeah, I don't know. Like, part of me is also sold there's no way that they're going to end up in the same place. But I don't know. We've had so few rumors about anybody else. Like, any other players, it's like you've heard nothing. It's crazy because we've been so stuck on the Ohtani and Stanton stuff that there's just, you know nothing. You have absolutely no idea who J.D. Martinez is looking at. You have no idea. Like, Hosmer, you get a little bit of Hosmer. Like, zip Santana. On Moustakas. Zip on Kane. Like, it's all about to blow up. So,
yeah. Oh, you know, it's going to be so crazy.
Yeah. And then, hey, I'm flying to Orlando on Sunday. It's going to be amazing. So, the winter meetings are going to be nuts. So, but I agree with you. I think it's going to be crazy, but I don't know. I don't have any confidence. Although I will say that if they, I guess the thing I can most confidently say is that if they miss out on Ohtani, they will be pushing very hard for Darvish.
I think we are fairly convinced.
And maybe that's obvious. Maybe I'm, So that's the thing I'm most confident.
Well, about. I mean, I think when you're just assuming that Jerry Dipoto is going to spend money, especially after he's taking on D. Gordon's contract, I think it's always a question as far as that goes. And, you know, he has seemed to show a predilection for upgrading the offense and maybe not worrying as much about the pitching. Maybe hoping that Wolfpack works out.
As we mentioned, the 3-8 trying to hit a home run is, I mean, that could...
That's very much... So that kind of ties into this next question. Are they done positionally? Like, are they just going to focus on pitching for the rest of the free agent? Like, with this Gordon move, do they have anything else that they need to upgrade position player-wise?
I mean... That's a very good question. So, who is the number one bench infielder right now? Is it still Taylor Motter? Is it still Andrew Romine? I mean, I guess it's D. Gordon now, right? Like I don't... But assuming D. Gordon is the everyday center fielder and Cano doesn't take days off, that's where I'm looking. And I know
except
they brought in Romine.
Except Cano is going to be taking days off. So Jerry said on the Wheelhouse podcast that Gordon is going to play center field. They're going to plant him in center field and not be trying to move him to second base to take days from Robbie or whatever.
Yeah, or any talk of Cano to first, like that's not happening.
Yeah,
yet.
No. My spidey
and I don't think
sense
it should.
Says,
I don't think it should.
No, no. Yeah. Cano to first is ridiculous, but Cano having a day off here and there. Is not ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous.
And it's literally what they brought in Lorena Martin, Dr. Martin, to do. So
Yes.
I would be very surprised if we don't see Gordon taking... And I would be happy to be wrong about this. I would be very surprised if we don't see Gordon at second base or even shortstop at some points as they start to rotate through. I would love for them to upgrade their bench, but I would love for them to upgrade Taylor Motter, who's just pretty lousy last year in extended looks.
He had his moments. I mean, late April, he was
Motter pops. It was super fun.
Yeah.
And then everyone found the hole in his swing. And
it got ugly pretty quickly.
Everyone found the hole in his swing, and he was not able to adjust. Like, I think Ben Gamel went through a time, and this is why I'm a big Ben Gamel believer. Gamel went through a time where he was hitting a ton of infield pop-ups. Like, he was trying to...
Yes.
lift the ball, and he was getting jammed really badly, and he made an adjustment and he stopped hitting those infield pop-ups and
he sort of fell back into it at the end of the season more. But yes,
okay, all right, but. Stop messing up my narrative, man.
No, generally I agree, like I had more faith in him to make to move, make progress. That's the issue that I could definitely see too.
If they're doing anything, I hope they're mucking around with that. Otherwise, right. I think they're probably pretty much set. And I was very unhappy when I saw that Wallpaper Wednesday was Taylor Motter.
Yeah, I mean, again, the hair takes him a long way. Quickly, though, I don't want to get too caught up on this, but are Heredia and Gamble both on the opening day roster? No, it's B-Gordon.
I think with Heredia, it's tough because now he's not going to be ready for the start of spring.
Oh, training. True. I forgot that he's going to be hurt anyway. That actually helps. I mean, I wish him the best, but that probably will make it hard for him to make, right? That almost feels like he's going to be destined for Tacoma.
I don't know. If D-Gordon struggles at all in transitioning to center field, Heredia is, with Dyson gone, the most defensively gifted center fielder that they have.
Yes.
I think that that gets him a spot, even if it's a bench spot. Sure. Just depending on the health, though. I think he's kind of got to show him a little something at spring training. I think there are some positional battles that we're going to see. And probably the thing that you can do, unfortunately, the edge Motter might have there is just the positional flexibility. So
yes,
that seems to be at a premium right now.
That is what he does have.
That's what he does have. That and the hair.
Yep. And that's what Andrew Romine has too. And not that he's ever been good, but
him and
I mean that's the dude that literally just played every position in a game. Yep. So
him and Vince.
Oh, Vincenge.
Vinci.
Oh, you know what? I think it's Vinci. But I've been meaning to ask. When I see C. Trent Rosecrans at the Mooner meetings, I'm going to ask him.
Please do. So please, I will report back
because that name has bothered me since I saw him when he was like in freaking Dayton. It's like, what is this? What is this?
What is this? Our own Ben Thone asks. Not to get too greedy or presumptuous, even if the Mariners do land Ohtani, don't they probably need another arm?
So this is the reverse of the... Well, this is sort of what we were talking about already.
Yeah, this is what we're talking about. Hard drop-off after number two.
Yeah, I mean... I would lean towards what we were saying before, like the Trevor Cahill type. But I don't know. Like, I guess... Having, Miranda and Moore and Gonzalez, like, that's not insignificant. And Erasmo.
Yeah.
So they kind of have these guys. They kind of do have these guys. And obviously, from a health perspective, literally all of them were hurt. So you had, Erasmo was the number one. But if you're counting on Leak to be healthy, and I guess you're counting on Ohtani. But again, that's the other thing about Ohtani is innings-wise, I have to imagine they're going to be pretty... safe with him. So, but it's not like they don't have guys. So I would still lean more on the depth side of things instead of going after anything too crazy.
Yeah, I don't think that there's a good chance that Lynn or Cobb are Mariners.
Yeah. I mean, look, to be clear though, Lynn or Cobb, right? Again, I'm all in on just go for Darvish too, to be clear on that. But if it's not going to be that, then let's just try and relax and not try to overdo it and give Tyler Chatwood $40 million. So that's how I'll put it.
All right, next question. I don't know if you follow the Seahawks at all though, because
I don't follow football. So
this question is, which non-Russell Wilson Seahawk would make the best baseball player? And
Russell Wilson Seahawks can I name?
I wonder, can you name any?
Yeah, well, okay, I could do Richard Sherman. I know Bobby Wagner. Okay.
All right. Good for you.
Matt Hasselbeck? No, I'm kidding. I don't know. I pride myself on not knowing anything about football, so I don't really feel bad.
The answer is probably Byron Maxwell because he would steal a bunch of bases. Mm. So that's my
Earl Thomas.
Take on that. Oh, Earl Thomas. Earl Thomas would be very good as well. Yeah, I don't know. That's a question John would be better at answering. But you could do the why haven't they signed Ohtani? Oh, please God, let him join the Mariners. You could answer that.
I can answer that. Why? Why haven't they signed?
Because they're trying.
They're very clearly trying.
But why not?
Shouldn't they just ask nicely?
What if they just ask?
That's true. Why don't they just press the sign Ohtani button?
Yeah.
Come on, Jerry. Stop podcasting.
Don't they just take him a picture postcard book of various Seattle scenes and be like,
Just close the deal. They're not waiting for anything. None of these teams are waiting. They're waiting for him. This is completely uncharted territory. So
it's wild.
You know. At Shohei, don't at us.
One final question.
Yes.
Is Mike Zunino good?
Hold on. Let me just run some calculations before. I don't want to give it. Yes. Yes. He's good. I hope you Mariners fans listening to this don't need me to explain it to you. But if you have any doubts.
But why have you? Click. So, I mean, this is like a joke. You know, there's the Mike Zunino is good. Sign office. Like it's a thing.
Yes.
Why is this your particular hobby horse? Why is this important to you?
Because
to let the world know that Mike Zunino
obviously
is good.
As my job at MLB and as a content creator, but in general is to you know promote baseball and promote baseball players and show people that baseball players are cool and good.
Even ones that are as interesting as a pack of uncooked spaghetti.
No comment, Your Honor. But here's the thing. I can take the players and say, you know, player X who's as good as a pack of spaghetti but is very fun. I can say they are fun. but the thing is that I also want people to know that players who have been maligned as not good are indeed good.
Yes.
Especially ones who are good at things that you might not see. And who are also, I mean, the best thing in baseball is when the player gets better and figures things out. And that has just been a joy to watch.
Especially him personally,
his career trajectory has provided such an arc to root for as eclectic and interesting, but he is very happy-go-lucky, and that makes him very easy to root for.
He reminds me of Jason Mendoza from The Good Place, which...
Yes! That is an amazing comparison.
I swear it's not just the Florida thing, although it might also be the Florida thing. But he's just like, he's a good
I think he's,
person.
He's not from Jacksonville.
No.
But still Florida.
Definitely Florida. Like, there's so much Florida about him. You can't separate that. But, you know, like, is he a rocket scientist? No. He is good. He is good, and you want good things for him.
He's good, and you want good things for him. And, like, he's good. We've established that. But he's also better than you realize. So it's like, it's a two-part crusade. Once you've accepted that he's good, you also are like, oh, like he's, you know, top five catcher in Fangraphs War. Good. Oh, whoa, that's like actually good. You know, so there's parts there where you're like, whoa, he's like good. But my main goal is to establish the baseline. That is my one. You know, because
people to recognize he's not 2014 Mike Zunino anymore.
Yes.
He is a different Mike Zunino.
And he's gone through a lot to get there.
He has. I don't... The fan base wants him to succeed so badly. And not just in a selfish, like, we want him to play well. But, like, just because we have watched him struggle for so long.
Yes.
And because he is. He's both baseball good and person good. And he's the truest definition of good.
Right. Good in more ways than one. He's my number one, but like, you know, there are other players certainly up for the merit, but there are other players around the league
too, where I like to make this clear about them, because it's the first one that comes to mind is Eugenio Suarez with the Reds, which I don't know. There's no way you won't watch a lot of Reds.
Eugenio Suarez is on my fantasy teams every year.
Yeah, I always draft him.
I love his little face.
That dude is good as well. So whatever, there are other guys, but for Zeno in particular, as a Mariners fan, he is the perfect emblematic guy to clearly define and to describe and to celebrate and parade around Twitter as good.
Absolutely.
So, thank you for asking.
I've said before that one of the things I like about the Cespedes brand, as opposed to maybe some of the other brands of sports comedy on the internet.
Yes.
I'm not naming any names. Barstool. But it's a humor that comes from love. It comes from loving the players and seeing them as people and wanting the best for them. It's like, it's a very pure kind of thing. And
it's just easier. Yeah. And it's come on guys. It's more fun to just have fun with it. Like they're not always, I mean, obviously as Mariners fans, it's not like we've seen them win a whole lot, but I mean, that's the thing. That's why you got to kind of find these things that you can root for on a personal level and on just a strictly baseball level, and it comes together and it's just more enjoyable. Like, to me, it's not complicated because I've, like, it's just, like, my both professional and personal world.